Larry Allen is president of Allen Federal Business Partners, and he writes the Week Ahead newsletter. And Larry, you made me laugh in the newsletter this week because you say right up front, Allen Federal has nothing personal against industry operations analysts, IOAs, and that's always followed by a huge but, Larry.
Well, that's right, Francis. And in this case, it's like putting the IOAs, who are people at the General Services Administration, not customarily being on center stage, putting them front and center. So it's akin to somebody from the chorus taking over the leading role in the play.
What do they do, and what's the change that's happening here that you're writing about?
Well, industry operations analysts typically perform reviews of GSA scheduled contractors, contract management systems. So they're the ones that are kind of the first line of contract compliance in terms of making sure that scheduled contractors pay the money they're supposed to pay back to the government, make sure they're complying with all the terms and conditions of their contract. GSA announced late last week that industrial operations analysts are now going to play the primary role in contract management, and they are going to be scaling back the role of the administrative contracting officer, who is, you know, an actual warranted government contracting officer, and leaving it to industry operational analysts, IOAs, to essentially be the ACO substitute. And I think that's potentially dangerous for contractors because some IOAs are very well trained and really understand what they're doing, and others maybe are less so and serve to give contractors a false sense of security.
All right, you tell a story in your newsletter this week that is potentially problematic for folks who are dealing with the government.
In the same week that GSA made this announcement, Francis, there was an incident that I was involved in where a company came to me and said, look, our IOA told us that it was perfectly okay for us to sell services off of our GSA schedule. Their GSA schedule happened to be only product-based. And, you know, that immediately is an out-of-scope issue. And this is exactly the type of thing that I'm talking about. Normally, a company would just rely on the advice given to them by a GSA official who is acting in the capacity as the primary contract management person. And yet, had the company followed that advice, any subsequent audit would have gotten the company in considerable trouble for selling things outside of the scope of their contract.
What's the solution to this? How will this make sense so that the people who sell to government are well served, and so GSA is also well served?
Well, I think there are two answers. The first answer is the most obvious, Francis, and that is government contractors should never, ever take the word from anyone other than a contracting officer about a contract issue. And if possible, you should get that word in writing. And it has to be a contracting officer, not a contracting officer's representative, not an IOA, but somebody who has an actual warrant. So that's the first step. The second thing is, if GSA is going to expand the role of IOAs out and schedule contract management, really, they need to step up the training of the IOAs to make sure that they have the tools necessary to do the job. Because when a company relies on bad information from an IOA, it's not just the company that gets a black eye, it's the entire schedules program. So GSA is giving itself another black eye that it doesn't need, unless they train IOAs to do the new responsibilities that they're tasking them with properly.
Larry Allen's the president of Allen Federal Business Partners. You're also writing this week about the new 18F initiative that GSA's created. It's going to live in the Office of Citizen Services and Innovative Technologies. Dave McClure runs that shop. What is your sense of what 18F is all about, Larry?
Well, it's kind of an interesting concept, Francis. It kind of is setting up inside government a headshed, if you will, for technology innovation, digital innovation, how it can apply to government missions. They're calling in a lot of former White House fellows to be part of this program. And the idea is, I think, sounds very similar to a private sector tech incubator, and right there in GSA's headquarters at 18th and F.
What do you see the benefit being to the government, and what's the benefit to the private sector companies that deal with the government?
Well, for the government, I think the benefit of this potentially is that whatever digital or technology solutions come out of 18th and F will probably automatically have a government-tailored perspective to them, so that they may be based on commercial ideas and commercial solutions, Francis, but the people who have been putting the solutions together inside of 18th and F have been the ones that are government people, so they're thinking about how do you first meet a government problem using a technological solution. So I think that's a potential benefit. For industry, I think there are benefits and potential challenges. For one, you know, if I'm a small innovative business working on small business information research grants or other things, I'm thinking, whoa, is this competition from inside the government that's going to potentially hamper what I'm doing? So I may not be wild about the fact that the government is taking on an innovation project that some might argue would be best left to industry. On the other hand, if I'm a company that has some good technology and I've got some cutting edge things, I might want to reach out to this 18F group and make sure that they know about my solution and see if there's a way I can work with them. That would give me a leverage point to get into the government market that's not traditional and maybe a little bit different than what other people have been doing.
All right. You mentioned to me, Larry, before we went on the air, there was something else you've been paying attention to that kind of tickles you a little bit. Tell me about that.
Well, Francis, here we are in 2014. I think it's good news for all of your listeners in the technology community. The government has indicated that it's going to be eliminating all of its Y2K compliance rules and regulations. Apparently, after 14 years, everyone is convinced that contractors are offering Y2K compliant solutions. So we can look forward to getting rid of those rules and regulations just in time for people to not have to worry about where they hitch their horse in front of the saloon.
That's great news. I actually still have a pair of those glasses that they gave everybody where the first and second zero were where your eyes were for 2000.
You've always been a style maven, Francis.